see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambell. I'm the host of the show, and welcome. Family, today I'm going to start keying right on in to the real background of what's happening today in the racial issue and the race war that they're trying to orchestrate, or at least keep people divided in, the real source of it. Some background about it, how it really works. And you know, it's linked up to feminism, racism, communism, fascism, every cotton-picking ism you can think of. And you know who the instigators are of all the riots and marches and all this? Two major groups. Freemasons. Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, and the Jesuits. That is the enemy of and in themselves. They're the ones causing all this. Goes all the way back to our Revolutionary War. Carrying from one generation of Freemasons to the next. One generation of Illuminati to the next, and one... and each generation of Jesuits trained to the next, carrying on the same rituals. And a lot of Masons don't even know this. That's who's doing all of this to lead to a new world order. One common race among all people, and to eradicate all other races of all kinds. To kill. genocide. You understand this in America and in Europe when they finally have total control. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and I want to hit the ground running today. And I'm not going against the Masons. I'm warning the Masons in and of themselves that their higher level, Grand Inspector General and above, are there using them as stepping stones to get their New World Order in position. And I don't really care about the first 3 degrees. I just want the best ones out of it who turn away from Jesus. They lie to them in the first 3 degrees and say, oh yeah, we're a Christian organization. They worship Lucifer. And they do not tell the Lord degrees this until they get a higher level. And this is a fact. That's why Masons, you have Masons for Christians that have gotten out and try to warn their fellow brotherhood to get out of there. See, the Masons are being lied to at the lowest level. And they're the foot soldiers of the Illuminati. I date exactly since when? July 1782 until today. The Congress of Wilhelmsbad. Saw the marriage of Illuminati and Freemasonry. Very clever. That happened. And they are going to kill every Freemason once the Great White Brotherhood has total control. They will execute every Freemason. It's in their documented protocols that y'all don't check on because you don't believe it. But it's a fact. Y'all got to get out of there. Because your soul is in mortal danger, not to mention your life before that. And your Master Mason, he's already brainwashed. He's going to say, oh, that guy on the radio is crazy. Really? Then let's talk about being a Christian, as you all say you are, and you take those blood oaths and you swear to God to tell a lie. Now, if you can reconcile that, man, you got attention. And don't be using that ends justify the means. That's a lie from Satan. Ends do not justify the means. Secrets are not to be kept. There's just some secrets that's got to be kept from man. Yeah, says who? Who says that? God don't say that. You'll not find that in the Bible. Ask him to produce that. Make him do it. Watch him hee-haw around. Family, become aggressive. Demand proof. And don't believe a word I say. Do not believe a word I say. Don't believe me. But challenge everything I say. Challenge it, man. Go after it. I'm serious on this. Because, family, we're coming to some kind of a paradigm very soon, it appears. Then again, we always get close to some kind of paradigm, and then it fizzles. We don't know what's going on in the background. And the last thing I'm going to say before I dedicate it, the broadcast as I do, you do have two separate groups working with and at the same time in competition with each other. I found it very difficult to try to discern how these groups operate against each other, but they all have one goal, work for Lucifer and develop a one-world government. And our American progressives kind of have their own agenda. And yet they're working with the Illuminati on the other side of the ocean. I've never really been able to pinpoint the synergy between these two, but definitely they work against each other. And one was in control, who's really in control, has Lucifer behind them, has warned our progressives as if they're pet progressives, at the highest level of our government and military. And not to rush this New World Order. So I suspect they're in the background, the ones subverting the Illuminati on this side of the ocean from going too far and too fast. Because certain things have got to happen. It's got to be in a certain time frame, of which the Illuminati on this side is not aware of, or they want to take control. That's kind of the background of it. So, families, dedicate the broadcast. And let's get started. I have a lot to tell you today. I'm going to try to give you a lot of meat and potatoes. Try to keep a lot of theory, academic, out of it. And try to give you meat and potatoes of what's going on. Names, dates, quotes, strategies, and so forth. So, just hang in there. Let's dedicate the broadcast. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins. Teach us and show us that so we'll be pleasing in your sight what we have to do. We pray for our families and our friends, our own soul. We pray, Lord, that you keep your shield of protection over us this day in the leadership of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for each other this day, and most of all for you, Jesus Christ. We pray for our Christian brothers and sisters who become reborn and need protection, Lord. We pray for all the people who have total faith in you, Lord Jesus. We pray for the souls who are reaching for their salvation, that they will take your hand and walk the narrow path with you. And we pray, Jesus, that these seekers who have no knowledge of who you are, they'll find their way from that dark road they've been traveling to that narrow path that leads the way to heaven. And they'll gain wisdom from your truth, discernment, so these souls receive eternal life, be able to live forever in your kingdom. We pray for those who's listening today, Father. We pray for the healing of those that we prayed for in the past, for their protection. And Father, we ask you, Lord, to give them a triple-fold portion of your courage, understanding, wisdom, strength, discernment. And Father, we pray for the rising of your army. It's going to grow strong and mighty and spread the gospel and do the reproving and rebuking in the name of Lord Jesus Christ of those false gospels, of the heresies. Father, we can't judge anyone, only you can. But Father, you've told us to correct and rebuke and expose. We pray, Father, that discernment, holy discernment, will come to the forefront of the unbelievers. That divine appointments will be set up for those that are teetering back and forth. That, Father, they'll accept Jesus Christ on those divine appointments. And we pray for those churches and ministries who are bringing in the false teachings to everyone to open their eyes and ears and hearts so they'll bring the truth to the sheep instead of the heresies and the false Bibles. Father, we pray for the lifting of the King James Bible. Lord, we pray for your blessings on these. And we bind up the powers and the principalities and evil forces of this world and all the spiritual wickedness in the high places. And Father, we pray that you'll loose the powers of yourself, of God, the warring angels, the ministering angels, the Holy Spirit, and that the sevenfold Spirit of God will come down and do a mighty battle on this earth today. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for this power and authority that we have over the enemy. Forgive us of our sins. And Father, for those unforgiveness in our hearts, to remind us of who those are, that Father, we may be able to clear that up. And Father, to help us see the times are coming. To understand the Bible, that we can preach it out. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth, as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into the temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, some of the things I'll admit people don't want to hear. I know this. We could talk about Ferguson for an hour. Integrate some of the Constitution stuff and Bill of Rights. White cop did this to black person and white did this to black and black did this to white. And we could talk about Trayvon Martin. We could talk about, I don't know, you know, just individual things here and there for 2 hours and accomplish nothing. Just more knowledgeable, turn off, watch another radio program. And so, you know, what gets done? When you do the marching, okay, but all they do is march. Now, back in those days, though, this was planned out fairly well. It worked. But then again, it was the Jesuits and the Freemasons that was using racism as a weapon to pull in people that really wanted to be free, to use them as pawns, knowing very well how it would go, hoping for a civil war so that Johnson could declare a national emergency, martial law. Kent State was to see if the military would shoot, would fire on American citizens. It was a test. They got the students out there. They got the National Guard out there. CIA members or members of the subversives started making claims, we're getting shot at, and panicked the National Guard and they started shooting. I know in 1990s, there's a questionnaire that went out in 29 Palms, California, among Marines, about 1,000 of them, about 40 questions. I got a copy of the questionnaire. Questions such as, there's like six of them that's a major concern. Would you wear the blue beret in the next, of the UN? Other questions relative to, would you join the UN? Would you fight for the UN, etc.? But one of the major questions that got my attention was, would you fire on American citizens? Now, as a former U.S. Marine, as a captain, I taught tactics. I was on recruiting duty. I was at Paris Island. I was overseas in the fleet, mid cruises, hoping for war, like a dum-dum. It's the only reason I joined the cruise a second time. I thought, surely going 2 mid cruises 6 months, I'm bound to get a war, at least one. Is that dumb or what? That's brainwashing. I didn't know they were being used as debt collectors. Major General Smedley D. Butler wrote, "War is a racket." They never told us about that at the basic school in Quantico. I didn't know. I joined to kill. I joined to fight, as my duty as a Southern gentleman. Well, I wasn't much of a gentleman back then, except in uniform. I just a hardcore, want to fight Marine. But one thing I wouldn't do, and we were taught as lieutenants, is you can disobey an illegal order. I wouldn't shoot innocent civilians. It ain't going to happen. I knew that wouldn't happen. Because one thing, I'd never do it. I'd refuse an order in a heartbeat to shoot unarmed citizens of any country just because some colonel or major or some wacko told me to go ahead and shoot these innocent people, tell him to stick it up his wazoo in a heartbeat. Today, it's not so. The Joint Chief of Staff is working against their fellow airmen, Marines, soldiers, and sailors because they're Rhodes Scholars, Knights of Malta, members of the Knights of Columbus, and they briefed the Council of Foreign Relations. They've taken a blood oath against mankind, and these are facts. You go to Arlington Cemetery, literally, I got the quotes to confirm it. You go to Arlington Cemetery and look out over the section where World War II veterans are buried. And look at the section of Korean War veterans that are buried. And then multiply times 1,000 the citizens that died in these wars as well. It's going to be kind of graphic. And then you figure how much blood is in the body. You multiply that times the thousands and thousands of millions. And you got the amount of blood that's been shed by the Council of Foreign Relations, responsible for both World War II and the Korean War. It was the Council of Foreign Relations promulgates these wars in conjunction with the Jesuits and the Royal Institute of National Affairs and the Secret Society members that helped promote these wars that were planned before 1871. Albert Pike, a Freemason. These are absolute facts I'm giving you, and it's documented in a letter he wrote to Manzini in 1871, August 15th. Now, that's the reality. It wasn't these wars that started spontaneously because of the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, etc., or because of Pearl Harbor, or because of Lusitania, or whatever. No. Or sinking of the Maine. None of that. Those were all false flag to justify the wars that were already planned. You got it? All the wars led to the next by design. World War I was a continuation of World War II. Into World War II. World War II, we didn't win that war. We won the battles, a lot of cases. In case we didn't. We never won the war. We simply brought the Nazis over here. It's the secret societies. Now, people don't like hearing all this. They don't even want to see the evidence either. They get mad, block you, run, call you crazy, whatever. But I can do this. As many other people that have researched this can do. I'm just not a claim to fame. You do the honest research, anybody can do it. I say to them, and I can do this without a doubt. You want to see the evidence? Let me show you. Now, they got a decision to make. No, I don't want to see the evidence. Yeah. Oh, yeah, show me your so-called evidence. Okay. And you give it to them. Either way, they are now responsible. If they say they don't want to see the evidence, they're saying, I don't want to see what's true. They have to deal with that subconsciously. You made a point. If they see, show me the evidence, then go ahead. Slam dunk them, man. Hold nothing back. Because it's for their own good as well. If they can see in front of their face the evil that they're protecting. Then maybe they'll wake up too. Now, when they pull away from their secret societies, granted, they will receive the wrath of man. In what form? Oh, they'll lose their favorite parking place. They might lose a job. They may have to retire. They may die. Their family may be thrown out of the house. I don't know. Kicked out of the Freemasons, or lose a contract, or get fired, or whatever. But it's better to do that than lose your life in hell forever. Do the math on that one. You shouldn't have took the blood oath in the first place. So now you're in a quandary, aren't you? You're not bound under the blood oath. When you renounce it, ask God for forgiveness. You're no longer unbound under some Masonic oath at all. But as long as you're under that oath and you do what they tell you to do, you got God mad at you. If you don't do it, you got them mad at you. If you do what God wants, you got them mad at you. No matter what you do, somebody's mad at you. I'd rather have them mad at me than God. Let me tell you. God's real. They're temporary. God's forever. And those who reject Him are going to hell. All the good deeds in the world won't get you out of the fiery furnace. Fiery furnace. You won't have any fur after that. I'm graphic. Tell you just what it is. The only way I know it, because the Bible tells me so. Not me. Okay, racism. Racism is a weapon. To put people in bondage and them not realizing. Freemasonry and the blood oath has put you under bondage, Freemasons. You're under bondage, man. You're slaves. You're slave to your oath. To destroy Islam after the Vatican created Islam as a religion in the 6th century, got everybody pulled in for a couple of centuries. Has that worked? Absolutely true. To destroy Islam, they created the Muslim Brotherhood and Wahhabi brand of Islam to destroy Islam from the inside. To ferret out and destroy the Hebrew Jews, the chosen of God, they created the Zionist movement. To enslave Americans under a debt slave function, a contract, they created the Declaration of Independence and patriotism. Oh, yeah, that's the truth. It worked perfectly. To control the Albanians, Hitler created Bale Kumtar. To get the control of Serbians, they created the thought of Greater Serbia. To get control of the blacks, they created the Emancipation Proclamation. And later the NAACP. And Civil Rights Movement. Except Martin Luther King. Oh, he reversed it on them. He started making people free, bringing people together. Uh-oh, that wasn't supposed to happen. They were going to use Malcolm X and the radical black side of Muslims using the Wahhabi form of Islam for violence with the FBI assorted controlled Black Panthers and the FBI assorted and controlled KKK and the Christian Identity cult group to destroy the white Panthers, destroy the black. See what they've done? They put a cancerous organization within the major organization to destroy it from within. You got to march. Okay, fine. But to destroy the march and make it violent You take police officers that are Freemasons, and that's what they do, and put it inside the march and dress like the marchers with bandanas on their face. And they're the ones that throw the rocks, start ticking people off, and throwing rocks at their own policemen, but in kind of undercover. That happened in Vancouver and Ontario. And recently they found several in the marches just recently in America, in the Ferguson thing. The cops are the instigators, dressed as regular marchers, to make sure it's violent, to justify violent action, to intensify the control. This is how it really works. See, the rule is, you can't rule innocent men. See, you create violence, chaos, to justify bringing order. Now, that's how it really works. That is reality. Nobody likes to hear that. I'm not going to tickle your ears. That's how it works. If everybody could, me a little favor, this twice in this hour, or once in this hour and the next hour, if you could, everybody visit TalkStream Live during the course of this hour, and then like 5:15, 5:30, thereabouts, visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com. And click on my picture. So you'll click on my picture. Up pops my page. And then to the right of that, you'll click that green bar. And up pops a kind of a media player. You can click that off. Or you can listen from there. Or, and then, once that's done, that's a vote. So I can get an idea who's listening. Not individually, of course, but of the compared to other broadcasting. And then you can click off the media player. You've made your vote. And then you click on my photo. You go back to my website, if you want. Or just listen to TalkStream Live. And do that twice. I want to keep track, sort of who's listening, if, you know, what's going on. And this is every time, actually, every day that I talk. Okay, now I don't want to get into this commentary, which is empty. Let's get down to some brass tacks, specifics of what's really going on. You know, we focus on the present truth. What Jesus is doing now is what's most important. But in the meantime, we've got to deal with the principalities and powers of darkness. Forces you can't see is in behind the scenes, controlling the secret societies. That's the real condition of this world. Truth is freedom. Life is the outworking, the spirit of truth, or the spirit era. He who controls the past controls the future. History is a record of the battle, and it pays to study and discern truth from propaganda, which propaganda is the rule, not the exception. According to congressional records, our media is completely controlled through the Council of Foreign Relations, controls all media, and they have since 1921. Actually, since 1915, even before the CFR was created. J.P. Morgan bought out 25 major newspapers and put an editor in each one to control it. This is a congressional documentation. History is a record of this battle we're having today. But history is pre-planned and lied about to the masses. Our history books are worthless, really. It's like Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy. There's no Santa Claus, and there's no Tooth Fairy. And Marines, I hate to tell you, you know, I passed this around myself when I was in Marine Corps, but I have to face reality. The streets of heaven are not guarded by U.S. Marines. And when you go to hell, Marines aren't going to take over hell either. That's the thing we use to motivate people. The streets are guarded by U.S. Marines. We'd hoorah. Well, the reality is it's not. You take Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be up there. The streets don't need to be guarded by anybody. And hell, you're being tormented for an eternity. That's the reality. I have to deal with reality, not all this other frivolous commentary that goes along with this false patriotism. Patriotism has been used since Cicero to galvanize populations for war, as war was pre-planned to control people. History is not a series of random events, but it is in fact the fulfillment of a carefully prepared long-term plan of these people I've been talking about behind the scenes. Biblical prophecy is the same. The natural types of the spiritual. History is not a series of random events at all. It's all pre-planned. Everything. Bar nothing. I can demonstrate that. I can show you beyond a shadow of a doubt. Y'all heard about the turtle and the elephant? You know, seeing a turtle asleep on a log, an elephant threw it across the river, and his friend said, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "I recognize a turtle as one of that bit me on the trunk when I was drinking from the river 50 years ago." He said, "How can you have such a fantastic memory?" asked his elephant friend. He said, "That's easy," said the first elephant. "I've got turtle recall." You see, God doesn't expect us to have turtle recall of Bible verses or historical facts, but he knows his sheep will understand them. Anthony Gregor Scott. World genocide is what's coming. The cold facts of the political, economic, religious, scientific, arts, philosophy, education, finance. They're all controlled by the Illuminati. Everything. For now. The ones we have in Congress are phony, every single one of them. Martin Luther King identified that we've been betrayed by both the Democratic and Republican parties, both of them. He's got a specific quote. Martin Luther King does. JFK identified the world order and he was going to take down his level. Malcolm X went against him when he came back from Saudi Arabia. Bobby Kennedy was going after the subversives and the mafia. The Kennedys are Illuminati, and the Kennedys stepped back and said, "Go ahead and take them out. We use JFK as a sacrifice of our family." In Texas. These people are evil. The Illuminati. They'll kill their own. Like Diana. Bruce Lee. He was a member of the Illuminati. The Lai family. Look it up right now. Go ahead and look it up. I dare you. The Chinese family. The L.I. Lai family. They're the ones sneaking in to America. Thinking they're going to use America as a jumping post to get control, but China's going down. Russia's going down. America's going down. The Middle East will be controlled by the rising of the Holy Roman Empire in the real Third World War. There will be no more China, no more Russia, no more United States. The rising of the old Roman Empire will take place, and from there will come the Antichrist. That's yet to happen. That's jumping ahead, I know. But back to the racial issues. Back to earth, right? Australia's getting hit hard. Israel will eventually. United States, oh, you better buckle up, buddy. You better buckle up. Europe, the old Roman Empire will rise up when the war is promulgated between Islam and Zionism, and both will destroy each other, will give rise to the Holy Roman Empire. The racial problems that we're experiencing in America is not uncommon in other countries. If they don't have a racial problem, the Jesuits will make one for whatever country it is. Like Sweden. Norway. They put Muslims up there. In British Britain, they got Muslims there. Australia. They have the race problems there. They're engineered. America, no problem. No problem at all. You got, just take your pick what conflicts you want to create. And race has been a weapon. Not for the freedom of man, but taking men and women who've been subjugated by one race, a white race, by design, and now to free them to use that as a vehicle to divide the country, like they created feminism in exactly the same manner. And both are funded by the Rockefellers. Feminism, racism. Gloria Steinem was funded by the CIA. Family, it's not because women want freedom and women got together and decided to do it. No. It's taken women trained by the Rockefellers. And Bernays, Edward Bernays, nephew of Sigmund Freud, training activists, and started off with the cigarette issue, women to smoke. His jingle was Light Up for Freedom. To start the feminist movement to destroy and dismantle the families by design. Homosexuality was to come later. To destroy the country, you must dismantle the family. Then you separate and divide the husband from the wife, from the children. Then you start working on them individually. This is exactly what's going on. Now they've taken a step. It's time for the race issue to be played. This is perfectly designed. That's the point I'm trying to get across. We are considered human cattle, not deserving to take control, to be culled when we become too numerous. To be culled when we become too numerous. Remember the speech that I place semi-frequently of Zbigniew Brzezinski? It's easier to kill a million people than it is to control a million people, unquote. Easier to kill than control. At one time, it's easier to control a million people. Now, because you become politically awakened, it's easier now to kill a million people than it is to control a million people, unquote. Zbigniew Brzezinski. National security advisor to like four or five presidents. Everything I'm talking about, I've played many times the quotes from their own words, their own mouth by the YouTube. I've got a little library where I can just pull it up anytime I want to. I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to keep moving about this racial issue. I get off on little tracks here and there. And I got some people, I say, look, if I get off the track, send me a text. They let me know. Because I go off rabbit holes. That's a bad habit I got. I mean, yesterday I was talking about racism and how Satan controls the Illuminati and so forth. And somehow I worked around the Ouija board. But the reason I did that was because I wanted to demonstrate that there is supernatural intervention. Supernatural influence that's real. even down to your children's level, and I got too much into the Ouija board, but that was the purpose, to show you that the supernatural is real. But the supernatural at the very highest level is using feminism, racism, communism, fascism, you name the ism, they've designed it, used it in stages on a pre-planned historical track. It's what people don't understand. They've been searching for ways to undermine the American society. This began in 1945. Planned in Tavistock in England. Behavioral think tank of social engineers and psychologists, military, political, to plan the takedown of America, the last bastion, which they planned already to know. Bill Cooper talks about this. Nesta Webster. Gary Allen. I mean, you know, the books have been written. Tom, won't you write a book about what you've learned? I said, why? I got one book I push, the King James Bible. Well, you should write a book about all this and all that. I said, well, why should I? I said, I'll just give the name of the ones I go to, and you go read them. I'm not looking to be famous. Don't care. I'm looking to get the word out. Besides, I could spend all my time writing a book and put my name on it and get on Sid Roth, it's supernatural. I would never take it up in the wazoo. I wouldn't go on that show if it paid me money to go. No. I want to promote the King James Bible because that's the only true word of God. That's what I promote. The secular information and all that, I got a list of the books I use and have used. If I can read them, so can you. They've all been written already. War Revolution by Nesta Webster. Pawns in the Game, Red Fog Over America, William G. Carr. Pawns in the Game by William G. Carr. Bill Cooper wrote many books. Go read them. They've already written them. I don't have to. I just point you in that direction. But the one I promote 100%, almost 99% of the time is the King James Bible. Because that's what's going to happen. The plotters of this race war are fully cognizant of the fact that mixing the races contributed greatly to disintegration, ultimate collapse of many great civilizations in the past. T. Frank, American Historical Review, July 1916. And so the Illuminati decided to use this as its weapons, one of the weapons against America. In the same fashion that feminism was created for the same reason. The nation-destroying philosophy was espoused by the infamous Dr. Brock Chisholm of the World Health Organization, who declared... And my regular listeners, I got another quote for you by him. Aren't you glad? Brock Chisholm, director of the World Health Organization, 1948 to 1953, also said, what people everywhere must do is practice. Miscegenation, or racially mixed marriages, in order to create one race in one world, under one government. USA Magazine, August the 12th, 1955. Now, isn't that a hoot? I found that. MISCEGENATION. Major within the generations. Miscegenation. Miscegenation. Integration and miscegenation, promoted in steps in the master plan for a new world order. And then you destroy the family. Lenin talks about that. So you intermingle the marriages with different races. You destroy the family so they can do that. You make divorces easy, marriages difficult. You promote porn. You take control of the children. You come up with core education, Common Core. No Child Left Behind by those Satanists like Bush, Reagan, Nixon, FDR, LBJ. Good gosh. The presence we've allowed to be appointed, never elected, always appointed, is an abomination. Every one of them were Luciferians. Every single one. Except for the ones that were decided to do the right thing. And you know what happened to them? Andrew Jackson. Although my bone to pick with him was he's kind of ill with the Indians. He wasn't right with the Indians on that day. So I got a bone to pick with that boy on that one. But he did break the back of the Illuminati by balancing the budget. The only president in history that did. Bill Clinton did it. No, he didn't. Bill Clinton's a liar. He didn't balance the budget. He lied about it. He's a high Luciferian, as Buchanan also is. One's a Rhodes Scholar, Clinton, and Buchanan, Knights of Malta. That's total evil. They wear the robes. The Bushes. Every darn one of them. God destroyed the flood, the world with a flood in the days of Noah, because of this miseducation. Genesis 2-4. This is why God destroyed the world. Except this was hybrids. Descendants of Cain, who the scriptures show was the son of Adam and Eve. Scriptures is clear on that. I may cover that tonight in Bible study. People have you believe that Cain was the father of, was the son of Satan and Eve. That's ridiculous. Bible clearly shows it's not. But Cain was demonized. Cain was evil. Cain was rebellious. That's the only thing about Cain. It clearly says in the Bible that Cain was the son of Adam and Eve, the first son, and Abel was the second son, clearly in the Bible. But they intermingle with the daughters of with the fallen angels, cause a DNA abomination. Giants, and we ain't talking basketball players, we're talking seriously big people here. And men of renown, and I call them bubbleheads. Because their heads were big because of the abomination, DNA manipulation. Angelic DNA made out of copper-based DNA. I'm not going there right now. At the Tower of Babel, after the flood, God separated the nations. So we wouldn't plot against him. He changed the languages. I talked about that in Bible study this past week. When Moses led the children of Israel on the Exodus, God told them they must kill all of Cain's descendants. Well, Cain didn't have any descendants. This is after the flood, the intermingling of daughters of man and fallen angels, and the second wave of fallen angels started the DNA abomination again, the second time. All of Cain's descendants were killed in the flood. But fallen angels came back, the watchers, and by their lust intermingled with daughters of men again after the flood. And their manipulation was a learned process from the flood days. They learned how to manipulate the DNA, and that's where the pharaohs came from. The pharaohs were hybrids. Nephilim. That's why they had the bubblehead thing on their head. And the pharaohs of Egypt, hybrids, the fallen angels and daughters of men, that race of people, at the point before the Caesars became in power, the pharaohs, the hybrids, migrated to Europe. and became the royalty families you have today in their generation. Ah. Yeah, buddy. Israel failed to obey God's word. Canaanites rule over them and their covenant land. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming end times. That's now. The conditions of Noah literally have been replaced and repeated. They have, I'm not going to go in detail about this, they have a race of people called the Metropolitans. They're giants, as in the days of Noah, held in underground military bases, in cages, ready to be released at some point in time. If God destroyed the world because of miseducation in the days of Noah, he never changes his ways. He's obligated to do the word, through his word, destroy the civilization for the same sin. Bureaucrats, politicians, not being Christians themselves, have brought the curse of God upon the country. Same-sex marriage, laws being changed. Family, we're coming around to it now. We're coming around to it. And this goes back so long ago. But not much has changed, except the names and faces. You know, The elite worldwide practice the strictest segregation in their marriages. They marry outside. And also in the education of their children. In their social activities. Frederick Morton, biographer, observed of the Rothschilds, quote, "They glitter in private among their own kind." This includes also the Italian Illuminati, 13 of them on the inside. Because of this miscegenation, intermarriage, God destroyed all life by the flood because of that, among descendants of Adam and Cain's people, all dead. The Bible reveals that soon after the flood, Nimrod, son of Cana, son of Cush, son of Ham, who was a cursed bloodline, like Cain's cursed bloodline, gave rise to Nimrod, his depraved wife Semiramis. They conspired to bring together all races under one government. They started to establish the world ruling governments in Babel. And the Tower of Babel was to bring, using alchemy, the fallen angels into this world. God confounded the language, divided the races. And now Satan's trying to bring it back together. It was God, not man, who segregated the races. Each of the four primary races was separated by great bodies of water, a vast desert, or high mountains. I'm leading up to something now. So that today we have mighty forces at work seeking to break down all the racial barriers in order to lead to an amalgamation of the races under one world government ruled by a purebred elite. You know the most powerful weapons they have in their arsenal? Is their ability through mass media to brand individuals or groups with a variety of labels designed to make them toe the line and go along with the propaganda, Freemasonry is used quite a bit. But racist, social, racial discrimination, bigot, homophobic, you see how they do it? Anti-Semite, it works in every case. Gringo, spick, they use these names to dehumanize a human being and to galvanize the one side, and each one's got the words. This is integrated into the system to cause division, and we fall right into it. They don't define the terms so the victim can disagree or defend themselves. They're presented as accusations of a vicious crime or some condemnation without trial. What's a racist? Correctly, a racist means a person who approves his own race, maintains his racial self-respect, prefers to live in the society of his own people, according to his own culture and way of life, all of which implies no hostility or no other race, and millions of human beings of all races, in fact, most of humanity, is racist by that definition. But it's given kind of a negative connotation. They want to do some kind of way imply discrimination. So the racial problems have scarred America, which is doing today and in the past, more recently, and the Great Britain as well, are now being put into Australia, Sweden, other places. So they'll all explode at one time. You know, in America, here, we result from the illegal, immoral slave trade that flourished in the early part of the years of this nation, since 1613. It's been ongoing ever since. The problem's been solved after the Civil War was planned that way. Lincoln played his role as he's supposed to, except to win against them, like Kennedy did. I'm not going into that, but that's why the Jesuits assassinated Lincoln. The problem could have been solved immediately after the Civil War. Had the Negroes been restored to their rightful heritage in Africa, as Abraham Lincoln and other responsible leaders advocated, but they weren't, because they were now like a white folk, black folk, whoever else, now had culture here in America. They couldn't go back to Africa. It wasn't logical. That was in Africa. Say, wait a minute, you come from America? No. Who are you? What blood do you have in your system? Ah. So the Africans belong here now. I mean, the Negroes belong here. The whites belong here now. White folk don't belong here. We don't belong in America. We belong in Europe. The Indians belong here. And a place that became to be called Mexico, the ones of Mexico belong there. Then you move up, the DNA, still kind of the same facial body structure, where the Indians types belong to America. White folk was living religious intolerance because we're being murdered by the Vatican in the millions. So we're out of here, man. We got Protestantism. Yeah, that's what that was created for. In 1492, thereafter, we're gone. Where are you going? That place called America. We're getting out of here. We're tired of being murdered by the Vatican. That was the bondage that they placed. The movement was Protestantism and liberty. Albanians, Vale Comtar. You see how it works? They always got a movement, a religion, something to galvanize, give them courage and freedom. Get out of here. That's what they wanted it for. So that after generations, we don't belong in Europe anymore. Blacks don't belong in Africa anymore. They belong here. Indians have always been here. That's how they wanted it. So Lincoln was not realistic thinking, maybe for some, because they didn't appear at time, but not after. The blacks here are Americans. Whites here are Americans. The Scottish and Irish that's been here for years and years are Americans. We're all Americans now. Indians, or all. Because this is where the family raised up. Okay, now let's get them to fight each other. We got to free them next, though. That's the Emancipation Proclamation. For the whites, it's the Declaration of Independence. Albanians, Balkan, Tartars. See, that works. Every culture, the Illuminati has something set up for this. It's designed that way. The blacks were being held in reserve from 1865 until a century later, 1960s. Been held in reserve to be manipulated and used by unscrupulous political conspirators who were Freemasons and Jesuits when the time was right. So the decades, beginning Rosa Parks, the time was right. They'd all set up in NAACP, a communist organization like the ADL, NAACP, ACLU, you just name it. KKK, Black Panther, they all work for the same organizations. And they don't even know it. Had the real instigators of the civil rights movement been truly concerned about the advancement and development of blacks, they would have supported the black leaders who were dedicated to developing skills, productivity, prosperity, self-sufficiency, community pride among the people. But the opposite is true. To control the blacks, they brought to the blacks an equivalent Freemason society called the Boulay Society. A lot of you basketball players are members of the Boulay Freemasons. Sharpton, Brazier, T.D. Jakes, Jesse Jackson, all these guys. But Martin Luther King pulled away from them. Now, that's a broad statement. I got a lot of listeners. So I owe you something. I want you to listen carefully. Give me a second here. And I'm going to prove my point. My regular listeners, bear with me. But I think I have to, something tells me I got to prove my point here. I want you to listen carefully to this speech. Now listen carefully to the second speech. The second speech of Martin Luther King. And focus in on when he talks about the civil rights leaders and what he did. There's a second to let you know he pulled away from them and went on his own. Now you listen to the second speech. I won't play both. But the second speech, to show and demonstrate what I'm telling you is true, Martin Luther King was a great man. He sat in the meetings of the communists. He sat in the meetings of the NAACP and all that, and he wasn't happy with it. He knew they were trying to use the marches for violence, but he started turning things around. That's why the Pentagon assassinated Martin Luther King. Led by the Jesuits, because he was not cooperating with the Illuminati. Now listen to the first one, powerful prophecy by Martin Luther King. But the second one, pay attention to civil rights leaders. Here we go.
Don't let anybody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be. A sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you are too arrogant. you don't change your ways. I will rise up and break the backbone of your power. And I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name.
Here we go.
Be still and know that I'm God. The promises of the Great Society have been shut down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home. Though the civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration, that's their business. But I'm afraid that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is the threat to justice everywhere.
He pulled away from them. That's his own words confirm it. You see, he knew what was going on in the background. And he started changing things. Among the first to recognize a political conspiracy in America was Eldridge Cleaver. He wrote, quote, "One tactic by which the rulers of America had kept the bemused millions of Negroes and optimal subjugation had been the conscious and systematic emasculation of Negro leadership through an elaborate system of sanctions, rewards, penalties, and persecutions, with more than not members of the black bourgeoisie, acting as hatchet men. Any Negro who sought leadership over the black masses refused to become a tool of the elite's power structure, was either cast into prison, killed, hounded out of the country, or blasted to obscurity, and isolation in his own land and among his own people. His isolation was assured by publicity, boycotts alternated with character assassinations in the mass media, and by the fractional power plays of Uncle Toms, who controlled the Negro community on behalf of the white power structure. You'll find it Soul on Ice, page 87. That's what they did to Malcolm X, JFK, Bobby Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. Except they killed those. They murdered them. Because they would not cooperate with the elite. These same people persecuted Graham Campbell, Pauline Hanson, and her One Nation Party supporters in Australia. It's not just America. It's worldwide. Blacks were not urged to rely on themselves to improve their station in life, though education, hard work and savings, investing, community participation, but rather were encouraged to place themselves unquestionably in the hands of big government. Have as many kids as you want. We'll give you money for it. They knew what they were doing in every country. That's what happened. It's going on today. And they're using it as a weapon. The way to destroy the Western society is the drug craze. CIA and other federal agencies are involved in smuggling drugs in the United States since 1950. Homestead Air Force Base in Florida, McCord Air Force Base in Washington State, Airport in Mena, Arkansas. Bill Clinton knows all about it. Destruction of Imperial China at the hands of the Crown in the mid-1800s. Drugs are used as tools to destroy America since the 1950s. By design, through Tavistock. The environmental movement, it's all part of it, through Iron Mountain Report. Using the Hegelian dialectic, the thesis the antithesis and the synthesis. Putting in action, applied from below, the environmentalist and pressure from above, the federal government, in order to achieve a specific goal of control. Making people more dependent on the federal government. Place more power in the hands of the federal government. The coming crime wave, they control it. Cops don't know this. And other cops that are Freemasons keep their eyes on the good cops. Make sure they don't get out of hand. Start doing too many arrests. John F. Kennedy also said one day, quote, "One day after I'm gone, long gone, you will remember me and say we should have stopped the nuclear program of Israel, abolished the Federal Reserve, and kicked all the secret societies, occultists, usurpers, and Zionists out of the wonderful country to keep it that way, but it's never too late. Just remember that," unquote. You do recall the quote by FDR, about my tongue for saying his name, of JFK. What he said, he warned us. In the same way that Martin Luther King did, he warned us. We didn't take heed. And here we are today. Now, one thing that I want to bring up. In a 1968 book called The Strawberry Statement, Notes of a College Revolutionary, James Koonin describes how emissaries from Rockefeller interests offered to finance our demonstrations in Chicago. One of Koonin's radical comrades from Students for Democratic Society, a domestic terrorist network allied with Moscow and Havana, was surprised to learn that, quote, "men from Business International roundtables had offered to buy up a few radicals. These men are the world's leading industrialists," commented Koonin, reference to the SDS's would-be corporate angels, the left wing of the ruling class. Now, what roundtable am I talking about? What exactly does that mean? Well, Carol Quigley, a major influence upon Billy Bob Clinton, Rhodes Scholar, describes it in Tragedy and Hope. Carol Quigley said, "Tell everybody everything." He wrote a book, a big one, Tragedy and Hope. The round table I'm talking about. Yeah. Council of Foreign Relations. Yeah, how about that? Keep popping up, don't they? United Nations. The Bilderberger Group. Club of Rome. The Royal Institute of International Affairs in London, and the Trilateral Commission. Representatives sat around a round table to discuss our lives and the objectives that I'm talking about today and determine where are we today with this. We need to hurry up on this, that, and the other. We have a deadline to make. Can we create an instance? It's called Hegelian dialectic. In other words, can we blow up something? Can we sink something? Can we take out a major building? Can we kill off a culture? This is how they do it, family. One objective of the establishment, commented Koonin, was to help the new left make a lot of radical commotion so that they, the corporate elitists, can look more into the center of the move to the left. Pressure from below. Seattle, take to the streets. Demonstrations plays right into the hands of the corporate elite. They represent from the above. Segment of the two-pronged scissors strategy. You know, the experiences Kuhlman describes in his book were by no means unique to that. The one-time student radical, Jerry Kirk, included membership in the SDS, the Black Panthers, the Communist Party, other subversive organizations. In 1970, 1 year after his break with the Communist Party, this Kirk gave testimony to the House and Senate internal security panels regarding the conspiracy's scissor strategy at work. Quote, young people have no conception of the conspiracy's strategy of pressure from above and pressure from below. They have no idea that they're playing into the hands of the establishment they claim to hate. The radicals think they're fighting the forces of the super rich, like Rockefeller and Ford. And they don't realize that's precisely such forces which are behind their own revolution, financing it and using it for their own purposes. They're building the culture of death. And in building the culture of death, they came out with the teaching of death education. I've talked about this before. They control the schools. Every public school, according to Charles Francis Potter, 1930, is an ally to humanism because every public school is a school of humanism. And every major college and university has in its preachment socialism and humanism. And a resident scholar to make sure that the professors and the teachers are following the Humanist Manifesto or they are fired. Threatened. That's why they make them Freemasons. You'd be surprised how many are Wiccan. Y'all get my point here? How this really works? Well, it kind of blows a lot of things away, don't it? But I also want to mention before I move on that all this that they do, it is impossible for them to win anything. Because Jesus Christ is real. They follow Lucifer. If they believe in Lucifer, the ones that control this world, for right now believe in Lucifer, you know he's not king. Then there is a supernatural. And that supernatural is God. And the defeated, the created, can never defeat the creator. It's not possible. But they're led to believe that they can. You know, no name is more promptly associated with the power of elite than Rockefellers. Although there's 26 families, Rockefeller is just one of 26. 13 on the outside of the portico, 13 on the inside, and they control the outside. The 13 inside are all Italian. They're the hidden ones. The ones on the outside, the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, Bundy, Kennedys, Astors, DuPont, all these guys, Collins, etc. They want you to know them, but not the insiders. All of everything they do, it will fail. But don't forget, you got the 7-year tribulations coming. Apparently they don't know about this. Even the point of socialist and anti-Christian agitator Margaret Sanger, founder of the Birth Control League, later Planned Parenthood, shared membership with the Rockefellers and the American Eugenics Society, benefited greatly from their financial support. Families are all connected. Every bit of it. Now, the race war, I mentioned yesterday, you have a movie coming called Selma. Do you not find it odd that movie coincides with Ferguson? the timing. You realize the timing aspect of that? And then the songs that they play in the trailer talks about Ferguson. Now, you just don't make a movie in a month or two. It takes a long time. And this movie is made very good, what I hear, and the trailer I see. So they planned this movie a long time ago, which proves this drive for this racial divide that they're doing today was already pre-planned, long before Ferguson. They just needed the right situation, the right instant to spark it. I can prove that to a certain degree. Did you know? Y'all ever heard of Rosa Parks? I'm sure you have. Rosa Parks, December the 1st, 1955, a 42-year-old African-American woman who worked as a seamstress and boarded the Montgomery City bus to go home from work. And on the bus that day, she initiated a new era in American quest for freedom and equality. She sat in the middle of the bus, behind the 10 seats reserved for whites. And after all the seats of the bus were filled, a white man came in. The driver, standard practice in his so-called Bible Belt, insisted that all four blacks sitting just behind the white section give up their seats so the man could sit there. I can't believe people would actually do that, but anyway, they did. As a white man, I say, man, since you're homesick, but go back there. White man, go back where you belong. This seat's taken by this black lady. Now you get your homesick butt on back there. But this is what they did back then. Sheep. Nevertheless, it happened. But Miss Parks sat there. But here's the problem. Miss Parks was an active member, an activist of the NAACP. You're probably thinking, well, so what? Well, now, she was there for a reason. She was arrested, though, and convicted of violating the laws of segregation, those Jim Crow laws, and Miss Parks here appealed the conviction and formally challenged the legality of segregation and on and on and on. And you know the story there. But she was an NAACP member. Well, now, here's the rub I got on that. Nothing about the giving seat up and all that. That's not it. My rub is this. Is that, did you know that Miss Irene Morgan, born April 9th, 1917, and died August the 10th, 2007, Irene Morgan, Kirkcaldy was an African-American woman who was arrested in Middlesex County, Virginia in 1944. Yeah. For refusing to give up her seat, interstate bus, according to a state law on segregation. She consulted with attorneys to appeal her conviction with the help of William Hastie, former governor of U.S. Virgin Islands and later judge, U.S. Court of Appeals, Third Circuit, Thurgood Marshall, legal counsel, NAACP, her case. Irene Morgan versus Commonwealth of Virginia was taken to Supreme Court in 1946. Landmark decision. The court ruled the Virginia law was unconstitutional. Now, what about her? How come I got to hunt that down? She died age 90. I never heard of her before. How come her name's not there up there? Why is Rosa Parks there? How come they didn't put her name here? Irene Morgan. What's the deal? What's going on here? She is 27 years old, traveling to Baltimore. She didn't have anybody behind her saying, okay, Irene, we got it ready. Everything's ready to go. Now, you can go on that bus. You just sit there, okay? No. Nobody told her that. this young woman on her own. Now, that's the point right there. Now, she went to the NAACP, but she wasn't a member. On her own bravery, her own course, she sat there. And didn't move. And then Miss Rosa Parks, that was timed. It was planned. She knew help was coming. Granted, it worked and it was necessary, but there's a problem there. Why come she's not mentioned Morgan here? The bus driver stopped Middlesex County, Virginia, and summoned the sheriff. When he tried to arrest Morgan, she tore up the arrest warrant. She kicked the sheriff in the groin, fought with the deputy, tried to pull her off the bus. She convicted of violating state law. Go, girl! You know? Yeah, she was determined. Now, that's what I call the real deal. How come she's not mentioned first? Man, she wasn't coming off that bus. She wasn't coming off. And she didn't have anyone behind her. She did it on her own cognizance. Now, that is bravery. That wasn't pre-planned. It's part of an agenda. And I'm not done. I'm not done at all. How about Sarah Keys? 1955, a landmark civil case. Interstate Commerce Commission, response to a bus segregation complaint filed in 1953 by Women's Army Corps. Private named Sarah Louise. Private. Oh, it's a military. Oh, hello. Broke with his historic adherence. Plessy versus Ferguson, separate but equal doctrine. Interpreted the non-discrimination language of the Interstate Commerce Act as banning the segregation of black passengers in buses across state lines. How about her? She was a Marine. Shame on him. But a Marine was getting on the bus and she sat there, didn't get up. Military. Not getting up. She didn't even have behind her and she was under military adjudication. Not getting up. Nobody was helping her. She did it on her own. The Keys case originated in an incident that occurred in a bus station in a tiny North Carolina town of Roanoke Rapids. It's after midnight on August 1st, 1952. African American WAC, WSC, private, Sarah Keys was forced in a by a local bus driver to yield her seat in the front of the vehicle to a white Marine as she traveled homeward on furlough. At the time of the incident, Jim Crow's laws entirely governed Southern bus travel, despite the 1946 Supreme Court ruling, that meant to put an end to it. And I've told you about that. The decision was Morgan versus Virginia. Well, I've done some research on this sucker, man. Yeah, to get to the bottom of this mess of the Freemasons and the Jesuits and how they're playing their little role here. It declared state Jim Crow laws inoperative on interstate buses on the basis that the imposition of the widely varying statutes on black passengers moving across state lines generated multiple seat changes and thus created the kind of disorder, inconsistency forbidden by the Commerce Clause of U.S. Constitution, which didn't exist anyway. U.S. Constitution is a bunch of baloney. They eliminated that a long time ago. You see my point here? The facade that's going on here today? That's my point. Of these games that secret societies are playing with us? When Miss Sarah Keyes departed her post in Fort Dix, New Jersey, in July the 31st, 1952, and went to her home in the town of Washington, North Carolina, she boarded the integrated bus and transferred without incident to Washington, D.C., to a Carolina Trailways vehicle. She took the fifth seat from the front in the white section. When the bus pulled into the town of Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, however, a new driver took the wheel and demanded that she comply with the carrier's Jim Crow regulation by moving the so-called colored section in the back of the bus so a white Marine could occupy her seat. And she refused to move. The driver emptied the bus, directed the other passengers to another vehicle, and barred Keyes for boarding it. Altercation ensued. Keyes was arrested, charged with disorderly conduct, jailed overnight, convicted of the charge, disorderly conduct, fined $25. She didn't quit. Unwilling to accept the verdict of the North Carolina lower court sustaining the charge, Keyes and her father brought the matter to the attention of the NAACP. It wasn't NAACP behind them at the beginning. It was after. Miss Rosa Parks had him before. He's a member. You see, it's all set up. You see, that's the truth. How they're using you and the black folk, you and the white folk, you and the Hispanics as pawns in the game, and you don't know it. That's my point. They're messing with you, using all of you as pawns. Even the subversives, the criminals are releasing into the public that they're going to use for helter-skelter to justify martial law, will be killed by the incoming and already positioned UN forces. It's already here. Except the subversives, they don't know that yet. They're going to have to find out the hard way. They'll come in as heroes to a helter-skelter in the future. Oh, my hero, UN troops. Oh, thank you. Yes, we'll take the mark of the beast. As FEMA has trained their clergymen to come around and convince unsuspecting Christians that we're on your side, we love God too. I'm a Baptist minister. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a whatever. Yeah, right. They're all trained by FEMA too to lie, cheat, and steal. And they claim to know God. Yeah, baloney. They've already got 25,000 plus clergymen trained in the clergy response team. You see why I'm a little controversial? I'm going to tell you like it is. I'm going to go about my business. That's how it works. You're being played, family. All of you are. And always have been. Since when? You're not going to like this. But literally since 1492. That's correct. Look it up. America, melting pot of the world. That is not by accident. Carried on from one generation to the next. To lead to a new world order. It was accomplished. As reported, October 2013, National Geographic issue, Changing Face of America. They have accomplished their integration They have accomplished it. The evidence is clear. What I told you a little while ago about mixing the races. I personally don't care. I'm not in this supremacist nonsense, whatever. I'm just telling you what their agenda's been. And y'all falling for it. By not participating, will make their plans fall flat. By bringing God into your world, their plans will fall flat. God has delayed this many generations already. Because you people pray. Because y'all pray. Because it's happened. But now it's getting less and less and fewer and fewer. And that's by design. So when you're starting to raise up those heroes of this movement, bring up all of them. Morgan, Keyes. Oh. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot about Browder and Kell. Browder versus Kell, a case heard before a three-judge panel of the United States Court in Alabama state bus segregation laws in June 13th, 1956. There's another one. How about that, huh? Shortly after beginning the Montgomery bus boycott, December 1955, the black community began to discuss filing a federal lawsuit to challenge the city of Montgomery, Alabama bus segregation laws. The case of action was brought under the Reconstruction era of the civil rights legislation. Remember, they stopped Reconstruction? They wanted to keep the blacks subjugated, slaves, but not really, but yet, yes. That's why they slowed it. They kept the Reconstruction, and it changed. They stopped it on purpose. After about 2 months after the bus boycott began, civil rights activists reconsidered the case of Claudette Colvin. She's a 15-year-old girl who had been the first person arrested in 1955 for refusing to give up her seat in Montgomery bus 9 months before Rosa Parks' action. A 15-year-old girl on her own. Now that's bravery, man. In my book, not Rosa Parks. She had backing. They had a plan. It's all laid out. That was all part of it. What about these others? Why are they not mentioned in this at all? You see. They were concerned that appeal of Ms. Rosa Parks' case would get tied up in the Alabama state courts, they say. Need a way to get directly to the federal courts. So it was a legal push. A legal reason, supposedly. They didn't bring all these other names up. You know something funny here? They're all women. Ho-ho. Ah, how about that? Why is that? They're all women. Women standing up, man. Oh. That's not going to get me votes, that's for sure. Oh, there goes my bid to be governor. I never was meant to be popular. I don't really care. How come y'all don't mention these names that I just mentioned today? How come they're not brought up as leaders of this movement? They didn't have nobody behind them. They did it because they had it in their heart. Not out of some conspiracy. You see? Huh. So family, I'm going to talk about a Bible study tonight, and 8 to 9. And to let you all know, while we're still on TalkStream Live, because they cut off about 3 or 4 minutes at the top of the hour, we're played up at highportradio.net, highportradio.net. John Kirkler plays our broadcast, my broadcast, my Bible studies, John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. Highportradio.net. He has sponsors up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He's agreed to just play our my broadcast. I keep saying hour. I'm just me sitting here. And check his sponsors out. And if you're in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, you need to have the services of that sponsor. Go ahead and use them, and if you see fit. My website is watchforjesus.com that I use primarily for my broadcasts and archives. I have some studies there you might be interested in. That's all I use it for. So not a lot of bells and whistles on it. Very simple one. And my Facebook is Watchful for Jesus on Facebook. Family, this thing I'm talking about today, this racial, the way the methods they're using, I could go on and on and on. Do you know that, did you know, in this report, Kinsley, Reisman, Dr. Judith Reisman, documented in 2 exposés, Kinsley, Sex and Fraud in Kinsley, Crimes and Consequences. I found very interesting relative to the New Age movement and do as I wilt as the whole of the law, eliminating all the prisons, letting people out completely, and they will close down the prisons. No more felons, no more prisons. It's a learning experience when you commit a crime. Oh, that's going to go over well. Oh, this is scheduled to happen. It's not a... There are despicable associates in this group, scientifically supervised episodes of child molestation. And you all know that that has to do with satanic worship. 33rd degree Freemasons, they know all about the royal secret. Oh, yeah. And the use of convicted sex offenders and other deviants as representative sample of American society. These people, on the basis of fraudulent research, Kinsley insisted that at any given time, 95% of adult American males were actively engaged in some form of deviant sexual behavior. That's her premise. Now watch this. This widely accepted myth that 10% of the population is homosexual is the most obvious illustration of Kinsley's influence. However, Dr. Reisman points out that the Kinsley, the cabal-aligned influence, extends far beyond the mainstreaming of homosexuality. Kinsley, K-E-N-S-E-Y, his accomplices set out with the intentions to topple or greatly weaken laws concerning rape, seduction, prostitution, sodomy, bestiality, indecent exposure, incest, bigamy, nudity, obscenity, adultery, fornication, adult child sex, illicit cohabitation, pornography, smoking opium, and other narcotics, unquote. Hence, Hawkins, about several months ago, said that mild pedophilia is okay. Family, you see, you connect these dots, you start seeing where it's working out. Gramsci-style change agents. It's sneaking up on you. This is part of the New Age movement. Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. I find this utterly amazing how it works. But they'll never succeed. They'll come close and God will step on their head. Leon Trotsky, 1917, said, and I quote, "While we built this movement, uniting women against their oppression, we try to win over the most conscious women to join in the building a revolutionary party that can unite all oppressed sectors of the population." Quote, "The women's liberation movement is a central part of the American socialist revolution in the making," unquote. Feminism, racism, all this is part of the New World Order's agenda to bring us to a new world order. You know that Freiden is adherence to the Soviet line. It was among those American communists that were de facto supporters of Adolf Hitler. We brought Adolf Hitler over. He didn't die in 1945-46 in Operation Paperclip. Between August 1939 and June 1941, the period of the notorious Hitler, Stalin, which were second cousins, by the way. Oh, non-aggression pact? Yeah. David Horowitz, a new left activist at that time, concluded, "Freiden's, quote, interest in women's liberation was just a subtext of a real desire to create a Soviet America. To create a Soviet America, it would be necessary to eradicate the traditional family and to supplant the family with the state." Racism plays right on into that like hand to glove. So racism is not about freeing a race. Racism is about bringing us to a new world order by creating chaos as promulgated by the Jesuits and Freemasons to the new world order. You all are being used horribly. The people involved really want to be free because they have been put in bondage. But in doing so, Myron Fagan says it best, I quote, "The idea was that those who direct overall conspiracy could use the differences in those two so-called ideologies, Marxism, fascism, socialism, versus democracy, capitalists, to enable them, the Illuminati, to divide larger and larger portions of the human race into opposing camps, so that they could be armed and then brainwashed into fighting and destroying each other." That has been accomplished. And they're on the road to it now. Did you know that Satanist and Christian holiday displays go up at the Michigan Mall, a Michigan Capitol? Satanist and Christian go up. Displays. They're coming in. U.S. top court bars Arizona from denying driver's license to immigrants. All this is set up, integration of America, as planned a long time ago. When you do this study, it's just absolutely amazing. It really is. But then, if you don't have God in your life, you don't have Jesus in your life, people that really take this in, become depressed and they leave. Me, I just get ticked off and want to go get more so I can tell people more for as long as I can. It works opposite for me. That's just the way it is. You know that Bob Jones University officials tell sexual assault victims to repent for their sins and discourage them from filing police reports? That's recent. Goes along with what I told you about Kinsley. It's all coming together, family. Did you know back in the 1950s that 30 million people were injected with a mandatory vaccine that contained live cancer virus produced in the laboratory? Did y'all know that? Sure did. Family, what I try to do when I hesitate is I try to get my thoughts together, because this is very, very complicated to try to simplify it. I'll admit it to you. I've got tons of research, tons of it. And I try to simplify it to where it's interesting, where it's impacting, and where you get the most out of it. Instead of just blabber for an hour and not say anything. So you'll know what you're up against. So family, it's just a matter of putting this all together so you can do something with it and know who the enemy really is. Now we're coming to the end of the program, and tonight, Bible study 8 to 9. And, tomorrow, 4 to 6, I want to talk a few minutes about rape and the classifications for rape, because they're trying to say now, as I indicated, that rape is just a learning experience. Say what? Yeah, that's right. A learning experience is a crime. No learning experience. But they're trying to change it, just like the New World Order is trying to lessen the crimes as you see them, so we can do as we wilt and not go on what God tells us to do. Now, I'm going to reassess what I talked about today and see how much more I need to cover tomorrow. If I need to close any ends about this racism, so you'll firmly understand where I'm coming from and trying to expose the agenda being forced upon us. And I'll put this thing out, these broadcasts out in my distribution. And then from there, I don't know who gets them. But I hope to shake some people up, if God be willing. To wake both sides of this up, so we don't have another Bloody Sunday. We don't have another Wounded Knee. Or another Concord, or any of that. But they will have a rising of those who follow Jesus Christ. And that's different. Well, family, we're at the end of it here now, and so I'm going to... hey, y'all, I gotta go. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's God incarnated human flesh. He died, rose again, and coming back. That you can rest assured. And there's nothing they can do to stop it. It's just when, we don't know yet. So family, tonight will be Bible study, 8 to 9. Tomorrow, 4 to 6, broadcast. And we'll keep on going. So I appreciate y'all coming by this afternoon and visiting me. And also, if you could, as you come by, go ahead and go on to the talk stream live twice in the hour, each hour, two times during the program. And his Lord lets me know, you know, if I'm getting out, that's all I care about, that I'm helping other people. And if I'm not getting out, I need to find out why. It's not for my self-promotion at all. It's about this knowledge. Challenge everything I say. But you find out yourself. Y'all have a good night and God bless. This is your watchman, signing off.
I am with you every day to the end.